That was Bill Polian, general manager for the Indianapolis Colts, a guy that's been to the Super Bowl a number of times but is facing the opportunity to finally get it on the right side of the equation. And we're joined by Rick Gosselin right there in the center of the Dallas situation. Rick, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Nick.
Tell us, I want to get your analysis of the Super Bowl coming up, but before we do that, and perhaps it's being covered to the point where it's actually taken away from the Super Bowl and the excitement and the way the caliber of football this season has been, I think, unprecedented and also unpredictable. But what is your take on this Bill Parcells situation?
Well, I think it was brewing. I think the reason Parcells came back in 2006 was because he thought he could win the Super Bowl. He had the healthiest team in football, and he finished one game over 500. I think he realized he probably couldn't win the Super Bowl next year with this team, so why stay? I don't think he was here to build the Cowboys. I think he was here to win. And if he couldn't see himself winning in 2007, why stay?
Rick Gosselin, what do you think was the primary factor besides that? How much of it was his working relationship with Jerry Jones? How much was it his health and the sense of a certain lack of urgency, lack of passion that he perceived in himself? And how much of it was the daily egos that he had to manage, particularly T.O.?
Well, I don't think that was the issue. I think the issue is, like I had said, those all may have been minor parts in the decision, lesser distractions. But again, I think he was here to win a championship. He hasn't won a playoff game, and I don't think he saw that happening in his near future. You know, the Terrell Owens thing was, you know, warmed down a little bit, but I don't think that was the overriding. I think if Bill Parcells thought he could win a Super Bowl with this team next season, he'd have been back.
What about the fact that they were a 19-yard field goal away from winning it? Would he still be here if that ball had not been fumbled?
It depends what happened next week. If they had gone in and beaten Chicago, maybe gone to the NFC title game, yeah, maybe he would have. Maybe he realized that he could win it, but right now, again, I don't think with a healthy team, they were one game over 500. I just don't think it was an occurrence.
And do you think that this is truly the end of the road for Bill Parcells as one of the top six or seven coaches of all time?
Well, I think it's truly the end. You know, where you want to put him on the all-time pecking order, I'm not prepared to say. But I do think, he's 66. I mean, you don't keep coming back. You know, I think Marv Levy would like to come back and coach, but he's in his 70s now. I think, and you look at the hires that are being made that have been made this decade, everybody wants the young, energetic, aggressive guy. You know, Mike Tomlin was 34, was hired this week. You see guys like, Jack Del Rio and Jeff Fisher was hired young, Bill Carr was hired young. You know, the league has gone to the younger guy. And I think, unless the team is desperate, maybe possibly even the Giants, they may give Parcells another call, but I think more and more teams are looking in the other direction for the younger guy.
Rick, what is it about the way the game has changed in the last 20 years where the younger coach, as complex, as competitive as the league is, the younger coach actually has as many assets as a more experienced coach?
I think the older coaches, and Parcells and Gibbs are two great examples, they won their Super Bowls before the salary cap with veteran players. Older coaches like veteran players because veteran players don't make mistakes that get you beat. You know, those Redskins teams, they had, veteran backups behind the veteran starters. Same with the Giants. In a salary cap era, you got to play young players. You can't afford to have veteran backups. You got to get young players on the field. You got to draft them and play them early. And older coaches are reluctant to do that. Younger coaches are less reluctant to do that. And you see a trend where college coaches have come on. They're used to turning over their roster every 4 years, and that's what the NFL game's become. You don't keep the players year in and year out. You keep a small core of your star players, but your roster turns over. I think there are only, 19 players still on the Colts from that 2003 AFC title game. You know, there's so much transition on rosters now, and younger coaches are better able to deal with that.
Rick, let's look at what coaches that might be considered for the position to replace a guy of his stature in Dallas, how much they would consider the atmosphere working relationship with the owner. It's not exactly what it is in Oakland with an Al Davis, but in a Jerry Jones, you have an extremely active owner. How does that play into the decision of a young coach who's being considered?
If you want to be a head coach in this league, Dallas Cowboys are three or four of the marquee franchises. This is where you want to be. And say what you want about Jerry Jones, he will go, he has no boundaries. He will do whatever you want him to do field a team that can win a championship. Look at the money he spent over the years in free agency. He got, you know, Parcells wanted Drew Bledsoe. Went out and got Terrell Owens. He's not afraid to sign the marquee player. He'll do whatever he can to upgrade his team. That will help that coach win. I don't think anybody should be scared away from that. I think, you know, because it's Cowboys, I think he almost has to hire a name, somebody he can walk into a press conference and be immediately respected. I think what the direction he's got to go, I think he has to hire an offensive coach. I think what they've got to sell right now is Tony Romo. If they believe he's the answer, you've got to accelerate his development. And you do that by hiring an offensive coach who can handle quarterbacks.
So a Dan Reeves is not exactly your first pick.
No, I think he'll go younger than that. And I do think he'll go offense. But, you know, the names that are being, you know, cycled here, Mike Martz, even, you know, North Turner, who had been here. You know, I threw out Jim Caldwell's name today, the Indianapolis quarterback coach. He'd be a guy I think you'd consider.
Yeah, my perception is North Turner does not seem to command the kind of respect, at least when I've witnessed him and what I've heard from other players. So it's going to be interesting to see who the decision is. I think Mike March certainly could be in there. But let's switch to the
North Turner's held in highest regard in this town. And this is the one place he could get another head coaching job. He's the guy that called the plays when they were winning those Super Bowls. That's why his name's here.
How important is that to a Jerry Jones?
He hired Dave Campbell. He likes what he sees as familiar. I think he could look at Norv Turner and say, I can work with Norv Turner. I know Norv. Norv knows me. We won't have any problems.
Rick, in our last couple of minutes, let's switch to the achievement of a Peyton Manning. How high up does that rank, the comeback itself, and what it says about Peyton Manning?
I think this last Sunday was his defining moment in the defining game of his career. That drive with 2:17 left, that defines his career. He is now a big game quarterback. You know, for years he's been losing that game. He's been making mistakes that cost him as his team a chance to reach a championship. Now he made the plays. And I think it was even more telling that Tom Brady got on the field after Manning and made the turnover that ended New England's shot. You know, that was usually a role reversal. That was usually Brady making the drive and Manning following up the mistake. Not anymore. I don't think you can ever declare Peyton Manning a guy who can't win the big one. This was the Super Bowl will be anticlimactic. That was the big one last Sunday, beating the New England Patriots.
Well, my take is also the surge in confidence, the way that he will not go there. Literally, he said he's not going to go there in terms of how personal this was. But it was absolutely personal, and yet he handles the press as well as any leader, any dominant leader in the NFL I've seen in some time.
I agree. And I also think, you know, it is being overblown a bit. You know, that's the third straight time he's beaten the Patriots. It's not like this is the first time he's ever done it. He's done it three times, and he's outplayed Brady each time. But this is the first time he's done it on this large stage.
Last question for you is Tony Dungy, our good friend, and just a little quote from Bill Polian about that halftime speech. What on earth did he say?
Well, you know, he sensed that there was a spark there. And Adam's field goal before the end of the half really got us going. And that gave us life, and we knew we were going to get the ball coming out. And you know they're a terrific bunch of guys who never say die, literally.
In our last 20 seconds, how important was that halftime and the leadership of a Tony Dungy?
Dungy told them the week leading up to the game, don't play the mystique, play the 2006 Patriots. And at halftime he said, gentlemen, we're two scores down, we can make it up, and they did.
Buddy, you were two scores down, and you kicked a game-winning field goal, Rick.
Okay, Nick.
Thank you, my friend.
Okay.
We'll check in with you next week, I hope. Rick Goslin, Dallas Morning News. When we come back, the professor, Ron Jaworski. We're going to go into more about the quarterbacks. Tuesday morning quarterback with Ron Jaworski from ESPN Primetime on Head Games on Sports Byline Network and Sirius Channel 122.